I just want to start by saying this, though. If it's your very first Sunday here at Northlands, just welcome. I don't know if you're out of town and family here are members at Northlands and they brought you tonight or what brings you through the door. I actually spent the afternoon with dear friends of mine and we broke bread together in each other's home. We laughed, we celebrated, and I want that experience to be what this is here. I want you to feel like you're at home. If this is your very first Sunday, please know that we not only want you here, but we love that you're here and we want to welcome you in and to celebrate. I also have a almost two-year-old little girl. And so I just want to say to the parents, number one, if it gets a little loud, that's okay. Also though, if you need the resource center, I am with you. I think my little baby's there with grandma right now. Like this is where we are as a community. And so we wanted to have a family time as much as we could, but I just want to say welcome to everybody. This season that we've been in has been a season of Advent. And if you're not familiar with that word Advent, it means literally the coming or the arrival. And what we've been looking at is really two realities of Advent. There's this Advent that we are remembering of Jesus's coming that stirs our affections as we sang about in all of these songs about his coming and the healing that he brought and how he restored humanity and brought us wholeness and healing. And at the same time, we as believers today are in the here and the not yet. We are in an Advent eagerly waiting for Jesus's second coming. But tonight we're talking about his first coming. Now, in his first coming, humanity was a broken place, and Jesus, by his nature, brought gifts to mankind. He brought four gifts that we've been talking about for this last month. The first gift that he brought was hope. Who's got a blue bracelet on? It should be kicking on. I hope mine's gonna work. Oh, I got mine going. Anybody's got theirs? He brought us hope, and in week one, we spoke about that. Hope is the ability to see the future with good in it. It's the ability to, with faith, that makes us uniquely human, that we can see a future that's not yet here and build towards it. It's what it means to be made in the very image of God. It separates us from all other creatures on the planet. But he not only brought us the ability to have hope again, he also, in week two, Armando did a great job. We spoke about peace. He brought us peace. Do we have, I got green on. Is that green for peace? We got that. Let me see it, kids. That's awesome. I love this is working so well. Technology, everybody. And then the third week, he brought us joy. And we talked about joy being a strength to believers. Joy should be a yellow, I think. I've got yellow in there. I see the yellows kicking on. I love that. Joy is a strength. It's a fortitude. It's an endurance. And then finally, last week, we got to talk about my favorite. We got to talk about love. We got red in here. Red love. It's the thing that binds us together, but it also heals and transforms us. And so Advent is this idea that all four of these pieces are brought together in the life, death, resurrection, ministry of Jesus to the world. Before anything was created, this is what the world looked like. All the pieces coming together, Genesis 1, God said, let there be light, and he created out of love and joy and peace, and in his humanity, a hope for humanity. He brought humanity out from his very nature, and he created this incredible picture that we have. It was, as Genesis says, it's a poem about this incredible garden paradise, and it was completely and totally together. But Genesis 3, we see that this incredible completeness, this wholeness, as the Bible would call it, shalom, was broken apart. And we see that these pieces were scattered together. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible at all, here's what I can tell you. I'm gonna give you the cliff notes from Genesis all the way to Malachi, which is the very last word that we have of the old covenant, of the Old Testament. It was about humanity being completely and totally broken and unable to fix themselves. No matter how hard we try, we were not able to put those pieces back together. It was as if darkness was constantly winning. No matter how hard we try, even if there was a moment of hope, it would be completely flushed out and broken. And it continually broke apart again and again and again, all the way to the end of Malachi. And then after Malachi pens these last words, we see 400 years of darkness and complete silence from heaven. And it looks like for a moment that darkness is winning. And for 400 years, we have this moment of Advent that people were promised a Messiah would come and somehow put the pieces back together. But then for 400 years, it seemed like it was never going to happen. And that's why the Gospel of John is so powerful for me. John, one of Jesus's disciples, he not only writes the account of Jesus's life, but he begins the very first chapter, the very first words of his account of what he witnessed and saw of Jesus was this powerful statement of saying, hey, guess what? darkness is not going to win. I have met the one who brings all things together and makes them new. And so I just want to read to you, if I can. Can I read to you John chapter 1? And just in light of that, in light of Advent, in light of a people who were broken and looking for a way to be healed, and there was no healing whatsoever, John writes this powerful statement just to like stick it to darkness. He says this. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." And I love this verse. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John writes and he says, I know we've been waiting for a long time, but can I tell you, not only is the garden being put back together, but the king of the garden has come and he's here now. And I've witnessed and saw his life and everything that he claimed to be about being the Messiah and the Son of God and the one who would take the sins of the world and cast out darkness far from us. He is here and he is here now. And so in a way, he puts all the pieces together once again of hope and of joy and of peace and of love. And Jesus is found in all of these realities. And so if you're here today, what we've talked about for the last four weeks, and I don't know where you are, I just know this to be true about every single one of us. Without Jesus, there's something in you that's missing. For you, it might be that you need hope right now. Do I got my hope bracelets up? Hope bracelets. Do you need some hope right now? I've got them on wristbands. Hope. What we talked about is hope is a vision of good for the future. Can I just ask an honest question of you? When you think about 2025, do you feel like there's a good future waiting for you? If you don't, I think you need hope. We talked about in week two, and Armando did just a phenomenal job, we talked about peace. And this peace is not like the world's peace that is waiting for peaceful times. No, he even said it plainly. He said, peace that God is talking about is not a peace that is found in the absence of hardship, but peace is found when the presence of Jesus shows up in the room and where two or more are gathered. With green wrist bracelets, where are they at, kids? He's among us right now. And I don't know what you're going through, but I know that peace is in the room because peace is a person. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that is not requiring your circumstances to be okay. In week three, we talked about the power of joy. And what I brought out was that joy, when it's talked about by the New Testament writers, from Jesus to Paul to Peter, James, John, the disciples, every time they talk about joy, they put it in the setting of hardship. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but if you're going through a hard time, the gift of joy is your strength, your fortitude, your ability to endure. It's not just that he wants to pull you from the hardship, but that he wants you to hold fast and be strong all throughout it. That you don't have to have joy in happy seasons alone, but you can find joy in any season that you find yourself in. And finally, love. This one's really big because love has the ability to transform and heal us. God so loved the world, not because we were most lovable. While we still hated him, while our very thoughts were against him, while we were enemies of God, God said, I'm still coming down and dwelling among the unlovable. And not only that, though, that he made the most unlovely of us lovely again. That he brings us back once again to what we see in Genesis, a garden. And he's bringing us back to that place. One day, Jesus is returning. And when he returns, he says, behold, I will make all things new. I'm bringing the pieces back together. And so I've invited our worship team to come up just for a moment. And I want to not just preach a message of the gospel, but I want to convey to you this call that Jesus wants to give you these pieces. But can I just give you, before we go into worship again, can I just give you Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23? I want you to picture this. Paul is writing a letter to a church he's never been to. Paul's an apostle and a follower of Jesus, a radical conversion, and he's never been to this church where the Colossian people are gathered. But his friend Epaphras, who's the pastor of that church, writes to Paul and says, Paul, I'm dealing with a broken community, and they're broken in a number of different ways. And what I have found is that when you have broken people, if you don't give them the truth and love, eventually they'll adapt a broken theology. And he says, Paul, this church of Colossians, of the Colossian people, they believe that the only way that they can experience this kind of love or this kind of peace and hope is that they have to somehow earn it and work for it. If they do the right practices, if they act in a certain kind of way, if they follow the right traditions, then God will love them. And Paul goes, absolutely not. He says, Paul, I have other broken people who don't believe in this hope and this joy and this peace. They believe that the only way that they can experience it is if they know some sort of secret knowledge or understanding, that there's a secret wisdom that only a few people know, that these gifts are not for everyone, but they're only for a select few people, this mysticism. And then Epaphras says to Paul, he goes, even worse than that, Paul, they believe of Jesus that he's not the savior of all things, that he might be a good prophet or teacher, but he doesn't have all the pieces. And so Paul writes these verses, and I just want to read these verses to you, and then I want to extend an opportunity to receive this incredible gift that is Jesus. Paul writes just in the middle of this letter, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and see if you can't hear a little bit of the language that John, the Jesus' disciple, also wrote about. See if it sounds familiar. Paul says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. If you're here today, and you're going, Tyler, I don't know everything about spirituality and Christianity. I think that there's a God out there. And Paul goes, if you believe that there's someone out there like a creator or God of the universe, let me tell you who he is. Jesus, the Son, he is the very image, the most accurate picture of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body. The church is the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Paul would say in these verses, just to break that down all the more, he would say, if you're here today and you need hope for your future, hope is not a thing that you acquire. Hope is a person, and hope has a name. Do I have those bracelets, kids? Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. This is the hope that is held out in the gospel. But he's not only hope, he is peace. We saw that in verse 20. He is the peace that was brought by the cross and bought by his very blood. He brings you peace with God. You are reconciled with God Almighty. He is joy. He is the joy that holds all things together. Just like joy is our strength and our fortitude and it's our endurance, Jesus is the thing that brings us all together and holds us fast. And finally, he is love. He is love that has come down and transforms us. And as we read in verse 22, he makes us holy. And in all of that, in verse 19, as Paul says very plainly, the fullness of God, all of it, everything that you are lacking right now, whatever part of you is broken, all of the fullness of God that can restore and heal you. If you want it, it's found in Jesus. And Jesus is not a far-off God like a Greek and Roman God. He's not some sort of ethereal idea. He is a person, and he is here among us even right now. He is the light of the world. And he extends that light, an invitation to you today. I'd love to just have one moment to just sit here and ponder and reflect. and receive from him for a moment. And then I want to come out because I believe the Lord wants to minister us today in these very areas. But I'm going to invite our worship team to sing us one more song.